The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have you ever thought about the science behind astrology? It's more than what the future is all about. It's time for a visit with Andrea Gertz, astrological detective. This hour includes astrological predictions, personal stories, and some crazy experiments. Get ready for a unique ride. Now, here's Andrea Gertz.
Good morning and welcome to the Astrological Detective, where we honor and revere the fated fates. And we turn everything else into the greatest greats. And today is a very, very, very special show because we are honoring a fated fate, which is that we had a kind of a show that played live on the air, but then we weren't able to archive it. And so now we get to do a very special Saturn archive show. And that's a fate that we have to deal with, or we get to deal with, so we're going to make it great. And I'm back here with my guest, Jesse. Jesse Zoldak, are you here with me?
Hey, Andy. Yeah, I'm here with you.
We totally got blocked from our last... We got cock-blocked.
So can we have a new motto for this show in the subjunctive mood?
Yeah. Did you write one?
Okay, yeah.
So, oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Ready?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so may Saturn not cock-block this version of the radio show, and may it also not get attacked by Mars or suffer any other malefic fates.
Wow! Did you just write that now, or had you been thinking on that?
I was thinking about it, and that's the way it came out.
Wow! That is amazing. You know, because I was thinking, Saturn embodied is being thwarted, feeling like you can't access something you want. You know, and we recorded this Saturn show. We were trying to teach listeners how to view Saturn in the chart, and they totally were blocked from listening to it. Isn't that ironic?
That actually is the opposite of ironic.
What word do we use for the opposite of ironic?
Because ironic is something that you wouldn't expect, right? And you would just totally expect that Saturn would cock block our show.
Yeah, we need like a name for getting blocked. Like, but it's like, what's like the quality of the vibration of Saturn?
Right, Saturn's cold. It's constricting, right? Like it puts a real cold spotlight on you. Like when you're thinking you're a burglar, you're all dark in the backyard, and then all of a sudden the floodlights go on you.
Ooh. Yeah. Okay, so Saturn's cold, and it's like, so you're saying that when that happens, the person constricts with fear, kind of?
Yeah, so...
Yeah. Interesting. You know what the...
Binding, point? And it...
Go ahead. You were saying binding? It's binding?
Yeah, it's binding and constricting, right?
Oh, my God.
It's a wet blanket.
That made me think that binding one's chest would be like adult Saturning. Like,
that,
you know, like...
That could be. Or that fancy Japanese rope thing.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta get these days back on.
So Japanese rope bondage.
Yeah.
That's a serious Saturn remediation right there, people.
Right on.
Wow. Well, that's definitely in the getting excited portion, because that got me excited about wanting to learn how to tie knots. I want to, like, tie up my little tape recorder with tiny Japanese ropes. Oh, wouldn't that be cute?
It would be. Maybe you could make a little sling backpack kind of thing for it, and you could wear it around. With easy access to the record and play buttons.
No, that's a structure I can hang with, okay?
Oh, that's another thing, right? Structure?
Yeah.
This Saturn structure? Institution?
Yes. Yeah, Saturn is said to rule the bones, or like, you know, when you're maybe forming as a tiny babe in the womb and you get Saturn rays on you, that might be the time where your photons condense into bone matter. I mean, just an idea.
Right.
What do you think about necrotic tissue in Saturn?
Ooh, dead tissue, because it's like got frozen or something like that, like when they burn off something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's very Saturn.
Yeah, like if Saturn's in a part of our chart and it's indicating a part of our body or our energy field, and there's Saturn there when we were born. I mean, isn't Saturn huge? I don't know planetarily. Do you know how big it is in relation to the other planets?
No idea.
God, I wonder that. We got to ask my dad that on some show.
He's probably looking it up in Encyclopedia Britannica right now.
Yeah, yeah. Dad, if you're listening to the post-record, look this up. How big is Saturn compared to, like, Mercury? But anyways, point is this, if we have Saturn in part of our chart, it might indicate that in part of our energy field, we have a kind of blockage from other emissions coming in and out, so we can't get a lot of energy to that area. So that's an area of our body that might become necrotic, tissue-wise.
Well,
you know, it's just, you know what I mean? Or if we break a bone, it could be said that that part of our kind of bone was weak because there wasn't a lot of energy coming to it or something like that. Does that make sense?
Oh, right. Like there was constriction somewhere to not all of the energies flow through.
Right. So I've been thinking about Saturn, you know, a lot about structure, and I was thinking that how can you tell what structure a soul or a person is going to want to build with their Saturn? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, you mean like if you want to use a Saturn influence to help direct your life in a certain direction?
Right. Like if you wanted to harness the rays of Saturn, which kind of can constrict life in some way so that you can focus and manifest something real there or tangible or material, you know?
Would
you know what someone would want to manifest?
Okay. Well, whatever it is, I think that whatever it is you decide you want to manifest, I think that the structure part of Saturn, the constriction part of Saturn, is about rules too, right? Like self-imposed rules, maybe.
Right.
So if you say you want to, I don't know, get really, really good at Guitar Hero, you would just like what you could do is you could practice Guitar Hero every single day. And if you do that over a long amount of time, then you would just end up being good at Guitar Hero, right? So if you want to become an alcoholic, you can practice drinking, like, every single day. And then there's also a certain amount of time, right? So because you can't just do it for 2 days, right? You have to do it for a long enough stretch.
Right.
And the traditional amount of time for, like, a test or to form a habit, right, is 40 days.
Right.
So, you know, because you know that from the Bible, right, Andy?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, Jesus goes off into the wilderness and is tempted by a diabolos for 40 days.
Oh, right, diabolos.
Diabolos. Isn't that such...
Is that diabolical?
Yeah, I mean, I think Diablo, I'm sure, comes from that, because it's, you know, the devil obviously tests him or, you know, something bad. And do you want to know where I think that word might come from?
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Plato, he lived, what was it, like 700 B.C. or something? Am I making that up out of my ass? Is someone going to Saturn me on that? If you would like to school me on that, please email me at... No, I'm just kidding. But anyways, I think that they would talk about casting lots or casting your chart. So, like, what were you saying a bolo is?
Bolos? Bolos are like those throwing stones, right? There are two stones, and they're connected by a string. And you whip them at something, and then they wrap around its neck or whatever.
Right. So, bolo, the Greek verb bolo, means to throw or cast something. Like, kata is down, kata balo is to throw something down. Like, you'd use that in, it's planting a seed, right? You cast it down into the ground. But But if it's like Anaballo, you'd throw it up. Ana is up, right? So anyways, dia is the prefix that means against. It can mean other things. But in the context of, I've seen it in astrological texts used this way, where it's like somebody is working against what's been cast in your chart. And they call that, they translate that in the dictionary as a slanderer.
Wow.
And that might be what's translated from the Bible as slanderer, too. I don't know. But it's like, so somebody goes to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, and all I know, etymologically from that word, is that it might be that somebody's working against what you know in your heart is true for you, and they're working against what's been cast in your chart by slandering you or talking badly about your highest intentions or whatever it is. You know what I mean? So maybe that's temptation or being tested. You know, it's like when you know something is of God or something, and then you keep, meaning like it's your highest self or something, and you go with that. But if someone like tests you for 40 days and you can get through that, then you're stoked.
Oh, nice. So you can be on an arc for 40 days, or you can be, I don't know.
You can fast for 40 days. I've actually read that. You can actually live for 40 days before your body starts to kind of deteriorate for 40 days.
Oh, well.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's almost like saying if you can be deprived of, I don't want to say the knowing of God, but like remembering that where you're from or something for 40 days, you can get through that, then you I don't know. But it's like, how long does it take to mend a bone? Like, when people break their bones, like...
Oh, right, and then you have a cast for 6 weeks or something, right?
Yeah, isn't that like 40 days?
Right.
And Saturn, when it stops in a chart, what I've historically noticed is, like, when I get really spiritual or religious clients in, when mm-hmm. there's Saturn periods, it's like those periods where they have struggles with God, where they're like, how could God do this to me? You know what I mean? Or how could he let this happen? It's when you're in severe periods of deprivation, you know?
Ah, right. Okay,
and it's
so
like,
what do you do, Andy, then, if you know you're in a Saturn thing, right? And so you know you're in a Saturn thing, you got to remediate it, right? You got to use what could be the good part of Saturn and not the, like, constricting, cock-blocking part, right? What's the good part?
Right, right. And when we come back from our commercial break, where we'll start in the Earth section, we can start talking about that. Like, how can we best use Saturn? And I think the way we'll have to approach this is, how do we decode what our values are, number one, meaning what we want to manifest, and then what's the method we can do that most easily with, and that might be the placement of our Saturn.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll be back with you. What? I can't wait either.
I can't wait.
All right. Back in a few.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Is the life you're currently living enough for you? Is it the life you once dreamt? What if you could change what's not working for you in the blink of an eye? Listen for The Bliss Edition, featuring Dr. Shelley Childers. We'll explore how your body and your life is created from everything that you think and say about it, including aging, disease, illnesses, pain, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What would it be like to live a life of ease, joy, and glory? The Bliss Edition is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Is there a difference between dream work and intuition? The relationship is closer than you think. These are mutually supportive concepts. When you dream, your intuition serves as a foreshadow of the future and can bring rapid results through dream analysis. Tune in to The Partnership of Intuition and Dreams with your host, Dr. Marcia Emery. Explore this unique relationship and learn to understand how the symbolism of dreams can be clarified. Listen every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You're enjoying Andrea Gerrit's Astrological Detective. Got a question or comment? Maybe a story to share? Call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. or send an email to theastrologicaldetective@gmail.com. Now, on with the show.
Good afternoon and welcome to a very special post-pre-record edition of the Saturn Show, where we're here with Jesse Zoldak. And Jesse, hello.
Hey, Andy. Are we now in the Earth portion in which we build tiny sand castles of knowledge one grain at a time?
Yeah, we are. I can't wait to build a concept grain for people with you.
Nice.
Oh, man. First of all, let's do a little PDA, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have to fire it up on Saturn so quickly.
Yeah.
And we're always so fired up on each other. It never fades.
It's true. We should talk about our amazing structure that we have, which is this long-term, like, friendship with a through line of deep respect and love. That's kind of how I feel about us.
Well, yeah. Well, that's true.
Yeah, and we like to have fun. You remember when we went to see Kid Rock? Well, you took me to see Kid Rock.
Oh, my God, that was awesome. Remember when he, like, came up from below the stage? That was amazing.
Oh, my God. Oh, remember his belt buckle? It made me cry.
Yeah.
That was an amazing structure, that belt buckle. That took some Saturn work. There was, like, a lot of jewels in there, a lot of money that had to be made to buy the belt.
Well,
you know, and anyways, but I really think that kid, that was so lovely. And you remember when we used to go skateboarding together?
That was fun.
Yeah.
To lots of different places, too.
Yeah. And we toured with our bands together. Oh, man, I loved that. That was so fun. I mean, touring's its own animal, you know. There's some sad.
Yeah, because remember when we got in that big fight in the alley?
Yeah, I'm not even going to tell listeners why either.
Okay.
But anyways, I do have to say that one way that I really think it's important to handle hard experiences with good language. And what I mean by good language is language that is non-blaming or shaming. So can I give you some language about how I feel about you?
Okay, sure.
Okay, well, I feel like you and I are Saturned quite a bit because we're far apart. You live in Boston and I live in Portland. So we have some distance between us.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, I don't. That's only Saturn in as much as it makes me long to see you. You know, like I feel like constricted, like a little bit like by it, because I wish that I could be with you in person and we could be like making movies together or something, you know?
Hey, it's true.
Yeah. So anyway,
yeah, that's a very Saturn way of explaining it.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like, anyways, that's my PDA, is I love you so much that I long to hang out with you, even as friends or comrades or whatever.
Oh, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, and
well,
I think that'll continue forever because we've had that going on for a long time.
Yeah, because my PDA is I love you, Andy. I think you are amazing, and
wow.
You're my go-to person whenever I want to think about like anything and some like magical idea or some inspiration or some anything like that, and. I know that I can always call you, and you're, like, always there for me.
Oh, that's sweet.
And any crazy, like, intellectual thing that I can think of, I know, like, you're right up there with me. You know, like, you can always be on the same wavelength. You're awesome.
Oh.
Really talented, Andy, and I love you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, God, that's so sweet. I'm blushing. I don't think radio people can see it, but maybe they can hear it in my voice somehow. I'm, like, so blushing. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Okay, so one of the things that we love to do together, you and I, is, like, kind of toss ideas back and forth, right?
Right.
And I think that I think one of the great ways to use Saturn is to build a pool of knowledge or build a thought structure together. Because you can kind of solidify ideas you've been rolling around in your head and kind of put words on them together. That's like giving a structure to an idea, kind
mm-hmm.
of. Does that make
okay.
sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so can I try to explain how I think we might know what our clients or what we might need from looking in our chart or what clients might need from looking in their chart as far as what structure they might want to create through their Saturn?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here we go. So The sun, okay, if we think about it, right, the sun shines all day long, and if we are out in the sun, our skin gets tan, but it, like, we can get vitamin D through our skin, right, from the sun. So it's like we can actually feed our whole being through the outside, you know? And so, like, your sun is like your praxis. It's like what you create in this lifetime on the outside.
Okay.
Like, my son's in the fifth house of creativity, and I'm in a band, and I write books, and I do you know, I make creative projects. That's what I do. Your son, do you want to talk about where your son is in your chart?
Yeah, it's not a secret. It's good.
Okay.
Well, it is a secret because my son is in my 12th house in Pisces.
So do you feel like any of your practical work in this lifetime pertains to the 12th house or Pisces?
Oh, it definitely does. Because, if this is a show about Saturn, right? So my Saturn is also in my 12th house. My Saturn is conjunct my Venus in my 12th house.
So it's like Venus and Saturn are conjoined twins?
They are. Saturn is a wet blanket perpetually on my Venus, basically.
But what's Venus do for Saturn, then?
What does Venus do for Saturn? I don't know. Maybe it gives beauty to structure?
You are that's actually why I asked you to be on this show, because you are beautiful at creating structures. Your house, you build stuff all the time, right?
Well, that's interesting.
And you make movies, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's making an artistic thought form that you then manifest into a structure.
Oh, I see. Hmm. That's interesting.
Anyway.
Saturn's putting boundaries on Venus's undulation.
Ooh, interesting. Undulation with boundaries.
Weird.
Huh. Interesting. So it's like you have the ability and the gift then to kind of undulate from afar. The reason that I would say that us being actually physically distant from each other is a boundary is that we can't see each other's bodies, right? There's a concept missing. Like, we can't, like, look at each other's, you know, what we look like now, you know, what your hair looks like. You know what I mean? Like, people change over time. We're separated. There's this boundary. But you
right.
can still undulate in that realm. You can still kind of connect creatively and make, like, new kind of sweet thought forms or something, which is Venus, you know? Oh, that's nice. Anyways, then listen to this. The moon, right? The moon reflects the light of the sun. Do you know that?
Yes.
You know that the moon is only lit up because the sun particles bounce off the moon and then come into our eyeballs?
Yeah.
Or whatever. Okay, so when we're bathed in moonlight, it comes into us a different way. It doesn't come to our physical. When you're bathed in moonlight, you bathe like your internal self because it's reflected light. It's like emotions. It's like infrared light, maybe. I don't really know all the details yet, you know. I'm just thinking, right?
Okay.
So a person's moon. Okay, so how about this? Okay, so your moon sign might show your internal values. Like, for example, if we're talking, communication doesn't happen in a vacuum, right? So it's like, there's an intent. Like, our intent in this show is that we're teaching people the concept of Saturn, you know?
Okay.
So a person's intent that they bring to everything is from the inside. It's like your internal self. I mean, that would be your moon, maybe. That's your, like, internal value that you bring to the practical thing you do.
Right. So the moon, right? So here's something. Right? The moon is the part of the moon that we see is the part that's reflected in the sunlight, right? But that is kind of that part is the mirror to everything that's external to it. But maybe the truer side of the moon is the dark side of the moon, because that is what is from within.
So, like, the light portion of the moon is what comes out of you, and then the dark portion is kind of what you're, like, doing all inside?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Right? What you're doing without other people or without, or what you would do anyway, given no influence from anybody else. Well,
interesting. That's fascinating. Well, for example, let's just say I make creative projects. That's my praxis, right?
Okay.
And that
that's
would be indicating
sun part.
That's my sun, right? And that's kind of what I'm here to do. But then what drives them might be, let's say my moon's in Pisces, right? So mm-hmm. what drives me is this deep kind of experience of the emotional wave that's happening around me all the time. You know, that's the moon in Pisces. So I'm thinking of everyone's feelings all at once, kind of, because I'm feeling so many at the same time. That's my experience of a Pisces moon. So the value is like maybe, like I try to go towards philosophies of utilitarianism, like the highest good for the greatest number involved or something like that, you know? But that's one of the 12 values of the chart. What's your moon in?
My moon is in Cancer, my fourth house.
So Cancer, I would say, is bringing into the whole life sphere the value of caretaking through home and family. And is that a value you, or people who are close to you in your kind of nurturing sphere?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, I was just saying don't you have a pretty close relationship with your family?
Oh, yeah, my family, but my family of friends, too, right? So people that choose to be our family.
Right.
And the ones
I guess what I've noticed in you is in everything that you do, you bring that moon in Cancer in the fourth house energy. Like for example, when we remember when we met at Homo Agogo?
Yes.
And we met in a hotel. Who got the hotel?
I don't know. Who got the hotel?
You got the hotel. Or the one time we met in San Francisco, you got the hotel. You always, like, get the place where we're going to stay. Or, like, you have this nice house in Boston where all these traveling musicians stay.
Right. Right. Or when there are astrology conferences in Boston.
You're very much a nurturing emotionally, like, you cook all the time, you cook your own food, you're very, like, the Cancer, I don't know, I think that's a really strong value in you. So, anyways, but we have to go to break here, and I can't wait to come back in the air section where we can just continue on.
Okay.
So, all right. Please stay tuned.
We'll be taking callers.
We'll be taking callers from our sound guy. No, I'm just kidding, D. That's my sound guy. I'm razzing him now on the radio. Okay. See y'all in a few.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network. Every moment that we live provides us with numerous opportunities to grow more deeply spiritually through our active engagement in positive, concrete ways that can uplift, encourage, and help ourselves and each other. Become a part of Our Sacred Journey with your host, Audrey Katagawa. Our program will include guests who will share their experiences with you to inspire you to help create a peaceful, cooperative present and future, and to explore your creativity and the valuable contributions which you can make. Our Sacred Journey airs live Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on 7th Wave.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You're enjoying Andrea Gerrit's Astrological Detective. Got a question or comment? Maybe a story to share? Call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to theastrologicaldetective@gmail.com. Now, on with the show.
Welcome back to the Astrological Detective, where we are here talking about Saturn. Oh, radio silence. Oh, it was so scary. She gets scared. You're keeping it going. You scared me there for a second.
That was uncomfortable.
You weren't there. Oh my gosh! What if my guest isn't there? What am I gonna do? Oh no! Oh no! Oh no! What am I gonna talk about? I don't want to like break this. Jesse.
Andy, this is very Saturn.
Oh, it feels horrible. Oh man, I'm gonna turn on our music if you don't stop. All right, we're gonna listen to music as a remediation for Saturn right now.
Does every rose have its thorn? Station 9 by Jesse and Andy.
Remember when we took 10 takes of that puppy?
All right, so here is about Saturn separation, difficulty, like making things, even making you have to concentrate on things to even, like, get them going, right? We couldn't hear each other. There were several technologies involved, right? Cell phones, right. Skype, condenser mics.
Oh, yeah, with this thing we recorded, but also just with your radio silence that, like, kind of scared me. I was like, he won't talk back to me. What's going to happen? I felt like I was out of control. That can create stress. Do you know one of the biggest stressors people say is feeling out of control?
Oh, yeah.
That's a very Saturn thing because, and the ancients say that Saturn rules agnoia and ananke, which is the necessary fated experience of having to go through things that we have not yet experienced by experience. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it creates a feeling of not being in control because you don't know what to expect. You don't know what you need to know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you think that people who have a Saturn heavily in their chart just always feel that way and then they get used to it? Or do you think that they just live in a state of fear until they figure out how to deal with it?
That's a very good question. I actually probably could answer that because I have a very strong Saturn placement and in my own chart. And I would say that until the day that I decided that I was going to be my own authority figure, and what that means is that I decide which concept bubbles I would like to manifest into reality, not which ones you tell me I should. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like the day that I decided to be my own authority figure, I stopped feeling so fearful and horrible, and I started to actually experience a little bit of joy, because I think with Saturn people, they're here to manifest structures for other people to play on, you know? And for me, Saturn's my third house of language and writing, so I make textbooks, you know? So it's like, here's a thought structure. Does that make sense? Before that, I constantly felt like I was, you know, getting in trouble for things that I couldn't have avoided because I didn't know what I needed to know.
So you didn't know what the rules were, so you decided to write your own rules? Is Saturn about, like, rules?
Yes, because things that become congealed, thoughts that become congealed, are rules or ideas that people want to enact into structures. And like you were saying, it takes 40 days to create a structure. It's like if you want your kid to go to bed happily at 8 o'clock with this certain routine, you want to do that every day for 40 days because that just becomes a reality structure. Like this is how bedtime is.
Right, and then that feels comfortable. And then if you, try to go to bed at 10 instead, then you feel messed up.
Yeah, so I guess the point here is we're saying whatever it is that you really value, whatever it is that you really decide you want, then one can use their Saturn to kind of make a structure in that Saturn area of life. So, for example, that would be the house in the chart is the area of life that tugs at our soul or something and to manifest a structure, right? So, like, if Saturn had someone in the house of finances, then what kind of structure might they want to make?
Oh, they would make a budget, or they would do something like consistent, right, with their money.
Mm-hmm. Right, or they might want to grow a garden if it was in Cancer. They might want to make a consistent structure of food, healthy food.
Right.
So the sign might show kind of like the flavor or the color that the structure takes, like what it looks like on Earth, you know. If it's Saturn in Leo, it might be a creative structure or a kind of very individualized structure. If Saturn was in Pisces, it might be a structure that's for the good of all mankind or a structure that changes you in your heart, that gives you a new visual concept.
Better get cracking on that.
We were talking about norms and laws as being related to Saturn, like social norms. Those are shared realities, right? Like, you don't pick your nose and, well, God forbid I even say on the radio, eat it. That comes up against a serious social norm. That's one of the strongest that exists.
Okay.
I don't know, like, if you watch a kid do that in front of adults, all of them, like, ah, you know what I mean?
Who hasn't done that, though?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying, but it's a shared reality that we don't do that.
All right, well, so if Saturn is, like, creating laws and structures and stuff like that, right? And then I remember from another of your shows about Capricorn, right? Capricorn is about institutions and, like, creating institutions. Because when that show that you were going through all of the signs and then whether they were mutable or whatever the other two things were.
Right.
You were talking about that, and then Capricorn seemed to be, like, creating institutions. So, and then Saturn is about law. So are those two tied together?
Yes, good question. Every planet is said to rule a certain sign. Now, that language is a little weird, because in the ancient Greek, they kind of say that, like, Capricorn is the house of Saturn, okay? Aquarius is the house of Saturn. But we say in English, Saturn rules Capricorn, Saturn rules Aquarius. But what it means is that maybe as Saturn moves around in orbits in space, that it kind of tugs at those people or people who have planets in those signs get ignited into their work, their praxis, right? For example, my dad is a Capricorn, and he has Capricorn in his ninth house of higher education. And so what he has built, he works on the thought structure in higher education. He's an astronomer. He's an astrophysicist. Like, that's his job, and he teaches college lectures. You know, he's teaching a thought structure. He's teaching astronomy. And he's moved up in the institution. He's been, you know, but a Capricorn, my ex-boyfriend was a Capricorn, and he was deaf, and he wants to build ASL University.
All right.
So you're totally right. Yes, Capricorn and Aquarius are ruled by Saturn. I think Aquarius is ruled by Saturn because it's air structure, it's thought structures. Like, Aquarians are very much like into groups, like the Jewish people, they're humanitarian, they're political, they identify with groups, like thought structures.
Ah, right. So, Andy, when they said this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, what'd that mean?
You know, this is really funny, but I'm not entirely sure. Okay, I know this song, it involves a lot of, well, may I say bad hair, but you know what I mean. Like, I remember the musical. But I think it has something to do with the North Pole of the Earth pointing in Aquarius and then processing from Pisces to Aquarius.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to Google this for us. And
Can someone Saturn this? Or can someone school us on this, please? We need to condense this into the right idea, which is, yeah. Anyway, so where were we? Coping. Do you want to talk about coping with kind of those times where people feel Saturned, like fearful, deprived?
So you're talking about the emotional aspects of Saturn, of what, like, Saturn, how it makes you feel emotionally?
Yeah.
And how you emotionally cope with that?
Yeah, how have you experienced Saturn emotionally?
How would anybody experience Saturn emotionally?
Well, I don't know. It's funny. How would a Capricorn experience Saturn emotionally? Not very much at all. So it's like, I don't think Saturn is emotional. I think Saturn is just material. It wants to manifest material, like physical structure or something. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. So Saturn is like a condensing, congealing energy, right? A cooling, like using something into a solid block of ice, and then there it is. It's structural, right?
Right. But if Saturn was sitting on your moon, which is your internal emotional self, that's going to cool things off quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. Then it might be difficult for you to say, you know,
how you feel. Yeah, it might block your feelings from being able to get to the other person. It's like it's going to be hard to toss that feeling concept over and get it received the right way. There's a block. You know?
Yeah, or maybe it's not so Mercury about talking about it, but about conveying it, right?
Right. It can't be, the energy can't be conveyed. And we have to go to a break, so we can't quite convey this entire thought, but we're getting there. We'll be back in a few with the water portion. We're also going to really hear this song. So thanks for being with us, Jesse. We'll be back in a few.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Have you discovered and awakened the natural power of your sexual energy? Imagine a world in which every woman's role is to birth the God in every man. Join host Mookie Okon for Sex and the Divine Design. Orgasm is a gift for your health and well-being. What if everyone could be free to experience and express the pleasure and power of being alive? Come and enhance your relationships, your well-being, and your sex life. Sex and the Divine Design is heard live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Is the life you're currently living enough for you? Is it the life you once dreamt? What if you could change what's not working for you in the blink of an eye? Listen for The Bliss Edition, featuring Dr. Shelley Childers. We'll explore how your body and your life is created from everything that you think and say about it, including aging, disease, illnesses, pain, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What would it be like to live a life of ease, joy, and glory? The Bliss Edition is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You're enjoying Andrea Garrett's Astrological Detective. Got a question or comment? Maybe a story to share? Call in to 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to theastrologicaldetective@gmail.com. Now, on with the show.
Hello, and welcome back to The Astrological Detective, where I'm here with Jesse Soldak, my very, very, very special friend. And we are talking about Saturn. Okay, Jesse, can we talk about coping for a second?
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about coping.
Okay, first of all, I only have like 9 minutes, so we have to cope with that by kind of keeping it short. But I've been thinking a lot about Saturn and coping with Saturn forever because, you know, I have a lot of clients under Saturn and friends and everything. What were you saying? What were we talking about last show about accepting new structures as part of coping with Saturn? Do you remember that?
No.
Have you ever broken a bone?
Yes.
How did you feel about the change of the structure? Did you cope with it?
Well, my bone breaking was nothing like you, like breaking your nose and then resetting it.
Well, I mean, what are you going to do?
Just so that's a structural thing, though, right, Andy? So you broke your nose, and then you took it as an opportunity to say, hey, how do I want to restructure myself on the physical realm, right? And then you crack your nose back into place or something?
Yeah, well, I had to get it, like, the nerve was there. I kind of had to move things around. But, yeah, I got her in there.
That's pretty Saturn.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the ways to actually, I learned this from interpreting a psychology lecture the other day, actually, there's there's two kinds of coping mechanisms. Well, I'm sure there's more, but this is one model. One is problem-focused coping, and the other is emotion-focused coping. And what I learned in that lecture is certain things do well with emotion-focused coping, and certain things do better with problem-focused coping. Like putting my nose back in place, that was problem-focused. I'm like, okay, let's just get this thing done. Right?
Yeah.
But maybe emotion-focused coping would be if I, like, cried about it also, you know? Because I think what they're finding in health psychology is that a combination of both kinds really works well, especially in chronic problems or things that are really, really hard. And also that emotion-based coping works in situations where we don't have control, so we can't do problem-based coping.
Oh, okay.
Interesting?
Do you think that certain people, though, are prone to certain types of things or not? Like, so, for example,
absolutely,
if someone's going through a really Saturn thing, like, so, for example, my friend Lisette, right, is, she got ill, right, an illness, and then, so how people are reacting to her are different, right? So some people are like, oh, well, hey, I read on the internet that you can do this and this and this, and then it'll all be fine, but actually that's,
right,
that's not really helpful, right?
Right.
Because
right,
it may or may not be true.
Yeah, that might be people's love language, you know, or like how they share love feeling, you know what I mean? But it's like you kind of want to attend to maybe the person who's sick, their love language, like what their internal experiences or what they need, maybe, you know.
Wow.
But who knows? I do think definitely, too, it's like, yeah, I mean, coping would have, we each probably want to figure out how we best cope. First of all, let's play our song so we don't run out of time. We did some music together about a very Saturn song that we thought, represented Saturn. So should we just play it?
Yeah, let's just play it.
Okay, we recorded this, Jesse singing over Skype and me playing the piano and then recording on a tape recorder. So here we go. We're going to see what happens. Oh, no, no, no. Oh, my God, I almost recorded over it. Oh, man, that was beautiful.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Oh, man, that was awesome. You know, I was thinking about, I'm going to ask my sound guy how much time we have. Hold on. How much time do we have? Hello? Oh. Okay, that was my sound guy, D. Love that guy. We have 2 minutes. Okay, Jesse, two things. One of them, can we dedicate that song to Lisette? Because I just love her.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Lisette, we love you. And then the other, and I think music is kind of the universal love language in some ways, and, you know, I don't know. Hopefully everyone can feel the love. But and the other thing I wanted to say, Jesse, about your Venus-Saturn, you know how we talked about what does Venus do for your Saturn?
Yeah.
I found that, you know, maybe like you were saying earlier, if a person gets used to being blocked in a certain area, that maybe as we get older we become more willing to kind of try harder in that area. I don't know, when we were trying to record that song, we were far apart. We were using technologies that were mixing. It was kind of challenging. And we just happily did it.
Yeah.
And I think partially that's because of you, because I feel like maybe your Venus-Saturn has a wisdom to it, you know?
Well,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyways.
Cool,
yeah,
no.
Saturn definitely is good for some things.
Yeah.
What do you think it's good for? Go ahead.
I think it's good for structure. So here's another thing that I think, Andy, because I've been, you know, I can go to the, you know, voiceamerica.com site and listen to your old episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's my thing about structure and about astrology, right? And that I hope that you get funding to keep continuing this show, because I feel that if someone is like a budding astrologer and they just want to learn more and more and more about astrology, all I have to do is go back and listen to the archive of all of these shows, because there's so much information that I think that I've learned from your shows. And I really feel like if somebody, like, listens to, you know, just makes a, for 40 days, just, like, listens to these shows over and over again, they'll learn so much.
And oh, that's such an awesome thought, because that's kind of our goal here, is to teach listeners how to discover their own selves through their chart and kind of live to the highest version of that. Hey, Jesse, we have to go. I'm so sad about that, because I love being here with you. But I will say my mom's going to be on the show next week, and that's going to be really exciting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll be learning about the sun and how to become the most awesome versions of our own self, practically speaking. All right, everyone. We'll be back next week, and thanks for listening.
Thanks for having me, Andy.
I know. Thanks for coming.
I love you.
Love you, too.
Thanks so much for listening. Next week, Andrea Garrett's Astrological Detective will return with an all-new program and more fun. Be here next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. And for more about Andrea Garrett's, visit her website at moirapress.org. That's M-O-I-R-A-Press.org.